a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Hey, Adelaide, this week has just been the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, my God. You've brought so many stories from God's country.
I know. Oh, and the whole Pope God thing is going on today as well.
Synergy, mate. Oh, as they would have intended.
Just the week for it. Mm. Going back to Adelaide for this one, to a backyard in suburban Adelaide.
Yeah, Zoom.
Zoom. And some wild footage that has – wild is a strong word. As I say that, as I read that, wild is a strong word. Yeah. I've watched the footage. Okay. I'm not going to play the audio because there's just a lot of splashing.
Okay.
But this story could very well be you.
A lot of splashing and me.
A lady by the name of Shannon Tremaine and her dad Vincent were in the backyard – when they opened the gate to the pool and in walked Shannon's miniature schnauzer,
okay.
Chloe.
Yes, yes.
Now, Chloe walked straight into the pool.
Okay.
Fell into the pool.
And?
And Shannon did a loggy,
mm-hmm.
and dove in after her.
Oh, and why was that? Why? Because she's a responsible dog owner?
Well, so famously we know that you were at your in-law's house when Wombi was a puppy.
Yes.
And he fell in the pool.
Yes.
And to which you... How did you jump straight in? You gave him, a second and a half? Two and a half seconds.
No. He dropped in. He came to the top.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, he's swimming. And then he went back down again. And I was looking around and I was like, well, no one's – okay, well, sorry, I'm not going to stand here while my dog drowns.
And as you leapt fully clothed into the pool, you screamed, Wombi! Wombi! Splash. In she goes. Saved Wombi's life, clearly.
Well, it did.
Got out, white dress.
Yeah, I was wearing a white dress.
Have been welcome back at that house ever since, particularly your father-in-law. Very keen.
You always say that. It's so creepy.
Cab over for a barbecue and a swim. Oh, push. Wombi's fallen in the pool again.
Shut
Log,
up.
You better get in and...
Shut up. See, okay, so it's not just me.
Yeah, so anyway, so Shannon, you can see, she opens the gate because it's the first time the dog's been in this part of the yard. They must have just moved house recently, right?
So
the dog's like, bah, bah, bang, in the water. So
yeah.
Shannon jumps in. She's wearing sort of active wear, so it's not
a
flowy white arrangement.
Yeah.
She passes the dog out to her dad, Vincent,
mm-hmm.
then she gets out. 5 minutes later,
she's
standing by the side of the pool talking to Vincent and Chloe, the dog, runs back into the pool area and straight off the edge into the water again.
No.
So Shannon goes, oh, man, and then goes into the pool again.
Now, why didn't Shannon just leave Chloe since, as you told me with Wombi, all dogs can swim?
Well, the thing with Chloe is that she's quite an old dog and she's been diagnosed with, I believe it's called vestibular disease.
Okay.
Which means her balance is affected underwater.
Oh, honey.
Right? So she actually, she doesn't sort of balance well in the water and doesn't know where up is essentially, right?
Right. Okay. So do you know what? You just flicked me through this article and I'm having a look. How she is swimming is she's swimming down instead of swimming up.
Yeah.
Which is what kind of Wombi was doing.
Well,
I didn't want to stick around and you know what? I stand by me and my decision that day to jump into the pool.
Yeah. Okay. But
and
you
see,
know,
someone else has too.
He was a puppy with no sort of health issues. And this is a miniature schnauzer. And he's a red heeler.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to find out.
I think if you were struggling in the pool, he could have saved you.
Yeah, you're right.
Not the other way around. Loggy!
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Look, we've all tried it. The ATO has come out and said, we know what you're going to do at tax time. It's almost upon us.
Yep.
We know that you're going to put in tax deductions. They're a little bit creative.
Yeah.
And we just want to let you know that we're ready for you because here's a list of the ones that we said no to and we rejected last year.
Oh, okay.
And we don't want you to try the same stuff again.
Sure, sure, sure.
And so I've picked out a couple of my faves and I thought Some of these I have tried myself.
Mm.
Amongst the most notable examples, and you can imagine with the majority of Australians, you would think filing tax returns, that you would get quite a bit of data here to look at.
Yeah.
A mechanic attempted to deduct an air fryer, a microwave, two vacuum cleaners, a television and a gaming console with accessories as work-related expenses.
Right.
And they're like, that's personal. Cannot do that.
But what if it's at work?
Well, A truck driver was like, I want to claim swimwear because when I'm driving in hot areas, I feel like taking a dip. And that's a work expense. And they're like, are you taking the pee? No, you're not getting your swimwear. Rejected. Bang. Right?
Wow. I thought you were going to say it gets really hot driving sometimes and Speedos just feel good. They just feel right.
They just feel really
driving
good.
Driving a big B-double in Speedos. Couple of B-doubles down right here.
Oh, mate. Also, it depends, you know, even the top tier of us to the low tier of us, we all try things. We all try to save that cash money. Mm. Someone tried to claim a luxury yacht, which was justified on the grounds that they might have business to conduct on the island. So...
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to try.
But that's getting to and from work, which, as we all know, you cannot claim.
You cannot claim unless it's you're at work and they want you to go somewhere from work not in your normal travel and they don't give you the work card.
That's right. So,
oh, I know.
So when we go to Melbourne on sort of a fortnightly basis to interview bands and stuff.
Oh, is that what you do? Really?
God,
there's so much more I could be doing. You cannot try and get a Pilates reformer. You can't try and get that money that you spent back as an office worker with back pain.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
No.
And I have tried. I have tried to do this, to be a gym membership or whatever. No. Someone's like, I need to renovate a house, so this is my gym membership. Can I please have that money back? And they're like,
that's about
no, that's not part of your...
I need to be, fit so that I can renovate this house?
Yes.
Yeah,
strong enough to renovate a house. But I think my favourite one out of all of these...
Yeah, yeah.
And... It's just a little reminder to be creative in life, you know, and try and get away with what you can.
Well, I mean, the squeaky door gets the oil.
Exactly. One respondent reported that a client tried to deduct monthly hair salon visits because hair growth occurs during business hours.
That is genius.
I love that.
Points for trying.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Visit the Werribee Zoo.
That's right. The open range zoo there is for all animals, great and small, because from the smallest meerkat to the biggest elephant, they can roam free, you see.
Okay.
And the elephants are so happy ever since getting moved down to the Werribee Zoo.
Yeah.
They've actually brought down one of the males there as well.
Okay.
And this is the sounds that the whole crew, the whole elephant crew were making when they were reunited. Have a listen.
When he rolled in.
Yeah.
So to me, that sounds like...
No, what you hear. No, it was happy sounds, mate. And to tell us all about it is Christy, the elephant keeper from Werribee Zoo. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
We're good, thanks, mate. What were they saying just there? Can you just translate for us, please?
Disclaimer, I can't actually speak elephant.
Oh, disappointing.
I know, I'm sorry, but I can do my best to interpret. So that was our first social session at Werribee with Lupchai and the herd, and it was amazing to see. Obviously, you've just played those sounds and what an amazing array of sounds they were.
Yeah.
I would say, obviously, having not been together for a little while, there was a lot of excitement at seeing each other again.
They were stoked, weren't they?
He was pretty interested in some of the girls.
Oh.
A little excited himself.
Yeah.
But it was just beautiful, you know, the two calves that were in there with him. They haven't had as many opportunities to get to know their dad, so that was so beautiful to see them, excited to see him, you know. And remembering a lot of the sound we can't hear, it's actually infrasound, so it's below our detection. But there was so many sounds going on. It was beautiful. So it could be excitement, surprise, greetings, maybe telling Lupchai to move away. Some of the females weren't as interested in getting to know him because he was pretty keen.
Yes.
So, yeah, lots of things were being said.
Okay, so I'll go for a time.
I was going to say, Chrissy, so from what we heard there was a lot of, but underneath it was a lot of, okay, so we'll wait until it gets dark. And then I'll boost you over the fence.
That's it.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. But I think, we were hearing some different sounds. So obviously, you know, you've got your classic trumpeting, and I think a lot of people are surprised when they hear that, and they're like, really, was that from elephants? Because, you know, you see them and they're quite peaceful and they're often quiet, just grazing out in the habitat, and then suddenly they come to life and there's these, almost dinosaur-like roars and squeaking and just amazing things that they're saying to each other, and it's beautiful.
And I feel like when they were at the Melbourne Zoo, you know, it was such a different setup. Did we get sort of them in that environment together, but, you know, did we get that types of sounds, or is this all new for you guys because they're finally being able to roam free and do all the things that maybe they couldn't do at the Melbourne Zoo?
I think we did lots of things at Melbourne that encouraged that sort of behaviour. So introducing novel sounds, you know, like we had someone play the bagpipes to them, which they'd obviously had no idea what's happening. So in the wild, when they encounter something novel like that, they sort of come together and communicate with those sounds to sort of detect if it's something they need to be worried about or if it's something neutral, it's not a threat. So
did you do anything nice for them, though? It's bagpipes, not traditionally.
There were lots of different things. Okay. That was just one example of something that they reacted to because they had not heard before.
Sure.
But this was different. This was because they hadn't had that time together for a little bit longer, and it was somewhere new, obviously, being out here at Werribee. So I think that was why we were hearing such an array of vocalisations.
So Lukchai is 4 tonne. And is 15 years old. And so basically, how long was he separated from the whole crew? And is that his elephant crew in general? Or is he kind of now, they've, how do I explain this? I know that elephants obviously have, you know, their pack.
Families.
Their families that they hang around with. Is that his original family as well, even though his kids are there and his partner? Or is this sort of like a whole bunch of new elephants that are meeting for the first time?
No, so, I mean, in the wild, these are matriarch herds, so it's related females, which is what we're lucky to have here at Werribee Zoo. We have a matriarchal group of related individuals. So the bull elephants sort of come in and out. They have social time, which is important. You know, we see that the calves learn social cues from that. Both the young bull that we have, Roy Yim, will learn from dad what that looks like to be an adult bull, and the young females as well, learning what an adult female does. But they're not sort of solitary, but they're also not permanently in that herd group. We got Lukchai a couple of years ago during sort of COVID time, so it's not new to him. He knows these girls very well. But he's moved a couple of times in his lifetime, but we're very lucky to have him. He's a wonderful bull elephant.
Oh.
It's a great facility there. It's always nice for the dad of the family to have like a sort of a garage he can sneak off to have a beer. Does Lukchai get his own little garage there at Werribee?
He does. He has his own bull barn that he hangs out in and his own habitats. And then, as we said, we sort of facilitate these social times as much as possible.
It's nice to have a place to cry, isn't it?
In it.
All right. Very exciting.
I know, the sounds.
We used to go, we do go to Werribee Zoo all the time, but we've not been since it's the new elephant enclosure's open, so I'm dead keen to get there.
You'll have to come along, have a visit.
I know.
It'll be amazing. And you can get your tickets on the website.
Yeah. I love that. Also, the sounds that we just played, did get a lot of emotional responses from me as well, hearing the trumpets, but also from, I've had two people text me, my sister crying and one of my friends crying as well. Okay. So it's such an emotional job that you have, and thank you, Chrissy, for not crying on the radio with us today.
My pleasure. Enough visitors as well that have said the same thing. They're just happy to see them here.
You would not be able to work at the zoo, Loggy.
No, I wouldn't.
Gets totes and mo straight away. All right, Chrissy, hey, thanks so much. All the best for your next adventures too, and we'll catch you at Werribee Zoo.
Thank you. We'll see you there.
No worries.
Have a good day.
You too. Let's let these elephants play us out, hey?
That was my stomach, actually.
It's actually when I see you before the show each morning, that's how you greet me.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Like Pavlov's dog, Loggy's dog, is Wombi, right? He doesn't salivate at sunscreen.
Like Pavlog's dog.
Pavlog's dog.
Hey.
Great. So every time Wombi hears the sunscreen cap come off my sunscreen, click, he comes running in wherever he is in the house. He could be resting, he could be sleeping, whatever. He comes running into the bathroom because he knows that click, that specific click, and it doesn't happen for any of my other products.
Mm.
It's only the sunscreen. When that comes off the lid, he hears it and he's like, that means we're going for a walk.
Get a pump. Get a sun cream pump.
Well,
or a different or spray. There's
no,
lots
I like
of
my
ways.
Sun. No, no, I like my sunscreen, thank you. So I've unintentionally trained him to do something. So we're asking, what did you unintentionally train your dog or cat or any other pet to do?
That's right. Lockie's in Armstrong Creek. Morning, Lock.
Hey, hi, Mom.
Hi, Tom.
How you going, buddy? What did you train your dog to do?
Every time he hears.
Every time he hears.
You scrape the end of the yogurt container.
You scrape the end of the yogurt container.
Yeah.
He runs into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And sits down perfectly. Because he gets to lick it.
Oh, yes.
What a treat.
That is a treat.
What kind of dog have you got, Locke?
He is a cattle dog.
Ah,
nice.
There you
just
go.
Just like Wombi.
Just like Wombi. That's a right. Great. Well, that's not an annoying thing to teach.
Nah,
dog,
Wombi
is it?
Loves the yogurt tin too. Mm. So that's a good one. What about you, Abby from
Grovey?
I can't see Grovey, of course. Abby, what did you accidentally train your pet to do?
Well, I didn't do it. So this was my childhood dog, and he was a very sensitive soul, right? And when he was a puppy, he used to go to the bathroom in the backyard, you know, do a poo or whatever, but my brother and my dad would laugh at him.
Okay.
So he started, like, backing up into bushes and, like, pooing in the bush so no one would look at him going to the toilet. And, like, we'd be going out and walking and stuff, say, like, at the footy oval or something. He'd back into a bush and then he'd walk away and he'd just see, like, poo hanging off the stick of the bush.
Oh. Okay, well, that's quite graphic, but also great because no one's going to step in that. On, like, who goes walking through bushes?
Yeah.
You know, that's actually
my dad's like, it saves cleanup.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good for the dog's mental health.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor little shy thing.
Oh, awesome. And the unintentional training there. Yeah.
All right, Kirsty in Torquay, what did you unintentionally train your dog?
Well, I'll give it some context first. Mm-hmm. Our dog is a rescue, and we believe that the former owner was an elderly woman who went into residential care.
Sure.
So she hoards everything. So she any empty plastic bags or anything left around the house end up in her kennel.
Oh.
But the thing that she's learned is that if I start chopping any vegetable at all,
yeah.
She comes and runs into the kitchen and sits down because she is obsessed with carrots.
Oh,
she just
yes.
assumes every time that she's going to get some carrots.
Yeah, that's funny.
That is so funny. Now, the thing is, you can train your kids to do that too, I hear.
No,
so, some tips for you, Tom.
Ooh, carrot. Cop that, Dad. No, what kind of dog is that? Is it a Bitzer because you've adopted it? Or?
It's a Beagle Cross. Yeah, she's a Beagle Cross Pygmy Hippopotamus.
Tom, Lingy and Lockie. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.